Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello, and welcome to episode 140 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver, my buddy, my compatriot. Who are you over there, Mr. Kyle Maurer? Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle, and hi, Adam. How are you?
Good. Nice try. Didn't mess me up.
Oh, maybe inside. I know you're a little bit flustered right now. I probably just like shook you just a little bit.
Can barely even tell. Nope.
With my antics.
Nothing. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're getting replaced.
No, don't kick me off the show. No.
How has it been? How are you? What's going on? It's been a few weeks.
It has been. It's been a little bit too long. I'm not even sure I remember how to do this.
Yeah, we'll get you. We'll figure it out.
Am I supposed to be funny? I don't know how to be funny.
No, there's just one of us, and that's neither one of us.
Yeah.
But between the two of us, we are one funny.
Oh, okay.
And we might be considered mushrooms, you know, if we're one fun guy.
I don't know. We're off to a bad start.
dad jokes. Yeah. So what's new in your world?
The usual, you know, working, shoveling snow, and the new stuff, kind of the personal / professional is I'm kind of getting into mastermind groups for the first time ever.
Nice. Yeah. I've been in a few. I've
never done it.
Yeah.
I know you've told me about yours forever. I've known their thing. I've been invited to a few, but I've never until now found one that was a good fit for me.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's the right thing for me.
Right.
That's how I kind of learn and grow, by having informal conversations with peers. I kind of got into the idea and started reaching out to folks at the beginning of this year, like, hey, who would be interested in just like chatting about our work? And a bunch of people were like, me.
Yeah. So why did you ask me?
It must have gotten lost in the, I don't know.
This is awkward.
Huh. You didn't?
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's talk later.
The masterminds I've been in, all have been terrible. I mean, terrible people, self-centered, non-helpful. No, I'm kidding. They've all been amazing. Right. They've all been really good. The first one, I mean, I credit the first one I did, you know, literally 8 years ago for where I'm at today in some regards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. So
you're saying 8 years from now, I could be where you are.
Something like that. I mean, literally because of the first one I was ever in, as of this recording, the day before this, 2 days prior to this episode coming out, I just celebrated 7 years of the Kitchen Sink WP podcast. And without that, every week, you know, consistently. And had I not been in that first mastermind that came out of New Media Expo, I wouldn't have done what I needed to do, been held accountable to launch the show. Right. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah, for sure. It's totally helped. Yeah. So yeah, just FYI. I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback in a few months. I will ping you on that one.
Yeah. 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 I should listen to that show.
Wow.
And anyway, yeah, the masterminds are super great. And you've encouraged me to join one. So here I am. I mean, like two sort of like, we're sort of feeling them out and seeing if like we'll stick to them long-term, but basically two different masterminds that are both related to my current profession.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm digging this.
Yeah. Makes sense. It makes total sense. Yeah. So cool. Anything else besides the snow?
No.
Cool. Right on. Yeah, we have no snow here. We've gotten a butt ton of rain, like a lot of rain. We're like 5 inches above normal already for the year, middle of February. So it's crazy. Crazy rain.
It's wild. This has been more snow than I've seen in years. It's been a long time since it's been this deep and snowed this consistently. And it's all over the place. My colleagues in like Texas are buried under snow.
Yeah. Yeah, for us, it stops at the mountains. Like, you know, Avalon, my daughter, she has some up in the mountains, but it's not the cold Arctic frost, whatever, the polar vortex, whatever. It's not coming past the Appalachians, you know, so it can't get over the Blue Ridge. So, which is fine by me. I mean, actually, it's not true. I would rather have the snow. It's cold enough for the most part. Just snow already. We haven't gotten squat. We've gotten like a dusting, and it's already like a flurry or two. Like literally two flurries, and that's it.
Wow.
And that's what flurries sound like. Flurries. Anyway. Cool.
Yep, it is. It's awesome. Very cool times.
Awesome, awesome. Cool. Over in my world, not that you asked, not that you ever ask. I mentioned 7 years of the Kitchen Sink WP podcast. I'm also selling a domain. I'm trimming back some of the things I do. As I told you a couple weeks ago, I've made one of my domains available for sale. That's over at canyoustartyesterday.com. I've shuttered, yes. I've shuttered that business, if you will.
So,
but I launched a new site, new service.
RIP.
But I launched a new one yesterday. Yeah. Did I tell you about that one?
I've heard.
Oh, then I won't tell you. So you know what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah.
I don't think you do.
I think that you, I don't want to spread the rumors, but like I heard you accepted a coaching position. Is it maybe as a Houston football team?
Yes. It's out. Yeah. You can tell. I'm going to be coaching the Houston Wranglers.
You don't even know the name of
course
the team?
Of course I know the team. The Texans.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Come on now.
Well, even you could probably do better than they've done recently.
No, but it has to do with coaching, and it's over at adamsilver.com. That's all I'm going to say. I relaunched my own personal brand and site, so I'm excited about that.
You're a fashion coach.
Yeah, and actually, ironically enough, I've launched it because of the support of my business mastermind group from last year. So, props.
Wait,
to
you're telling me that this mastermind group keeps telling you to start new ventures?
In this case, yes.
Hold the phone.
Funny, huh?
A minute ago, I was really high on this mastermind group. Like, way to go supporting my man Adam. But now I'm starting to wonder if they have your best interests at heart.
Well, you know, some people that you know who have been on this show are in that mastermind, so you can talk to them.
Some of those people need to check themselves.
Yeah, right. That's all I got.
I wish you the best with the coaching.
Thanks. Program. I mean, I've been doing it unofficially. We, you know, you do it as well. We talk to each other, we mentor each other, we help each other, and I just want to do more of that as I, you know, kind of pivot and push forward with you know, my life with WordPress. So, you know, anyway, in a business perspective. So I enjoy doing it. So
great.
Yeah. So yeah.
I'm sure you'll be successful.
Thanks. One change that I know of, WP Engine hired the creator and maintainer of WP GraphQL, also known as Jason Ball. He is now a principal software engineer. Do you know Jason?
Gosh. I'm going to say no. Okay. I mean, I know who he is from online.
I know.
I can't remember if we've met in
person. I've met him. I'm 99%. It's so hard to remember now who we've met because we've been away for
so long ago, man.
Yeah.
Don't ask that question.
Right? It's awkward. But I reached out. I said congratulations online. And it's like, it's funny, over on LinkedIn and Facebook, whenever I ping him and say, hey, how you doing? It's always because he got a new job. You know, he's moved around. It's kind of funny. It's like almost clockwork in every, 18, 20 months. He's a great guy. I have met him. So he's a good guy. So congratulations to both WP Engine and to Jason Ball. What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? I'll go first here. I am wearing old school, if you will, it's been a while, WordCamp Phoenix, the W, like the Letterman hoodie. It's nice and thick and super cozy, and it was a speaker gift, and it was actually when I was a backup speaker. They sent me one after the fact, which is super nice of them, so I'm wearing that. I'm drinking water, because it's the time of day that I start drinking water, and I'm reading Ultra Learning. What? Yeah. Okay. I'm drinking Ultra Learning by Scott H. Young. Super cool book about, it's like the how to learn a lot in a short amount of time and how to set that up. It's almost like meta of meta. It's pretty cool. I found out about it by it's the forward by James Clear of Atomic Habits. Fantastic book. And a really good review also by Cal Newport from Deep Work. So a lot of authors that I really follow. So it's an interesting book. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you?
Brilliant. I'm wearing an Apply Filters podcast t-shirt.
Wow.
It's a Nexus hosting hat. Drinking some water myself as well. I needed to stay hydrated. I just went out and tried to shovel my driveway. And I got like a third of it done and I was sweating and exhausted. took about an hour.
There are a lot of heart attacks on the first snow of a season for men who go to shovel snow and they haven't been exercising and they're like, it's a fact. It's a stat.
No, I believe it.
Yeah.
I totally believe that. Yeah. I was pushing myself. I'm going to have to probably go out a few more times today just to get the rest of our not very long driveway shoveled.
Yeah.
And I'm also reading The Last Wish, which is the first book in the Witcher series.
Okay. Right on. Is that the same book you were reading last time?
What's the next segment that we're going to do?
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
You know what? I think it is time to tear down more statues, man. I love it when that happens.
Wow.
Every time I hear about statues coming down, it makes my day. So that's what time it is.
Well, that's awkward, but no, it's not. It's actually questions time. That's right. You sent them in, we read them, we researched them, and now it's time to give you some options. Okay, here we go.
In case you haven't noticed, I get a kick out of dropping some sort of an awkward segue.
I love that. That is probably one of my favorite things that you do, unscripted.
Yeah.
All right, question one. I will start. Want me to read the first one?
No.
Okay, you want to read the first one?
Okay, this question comes to us from Dave. Dave says, I'm a lead developer at the moment, and I heard that I am about to be promoted to team lead. Oddly enough, I'm very close to accepting another job and leaving the current company. What say you in regards to how to approach this with my manager? Thank you, Dave, for this question. Well, aren't you just Mr. Hot Stuff?
Right. I have three options. No specific order. I'll start with one of them.
Okay.
Vodka and poetry. Can't go wrong.
In terms of approaching your manager?
Right.
With this, yes.
Okay. Having a cocktail in hand and reading him poetry. Kind of maybe explain it in haiku about leaving the company. 575, right? Or is it 585?
It could work.
Yeah.
Could work.
It's an option.
Yeah. That's what we give is options.
Options.
Yeah.
The other one, of course, and I'll give you my second option, and then I'll maybe come up with the third. But the second option I have is I wouldn't say a darn thing, like ever, just totally not show up for work on the first day of the new job. I mean, why rock the boat? You're only going to cause that current manager stress that he has to replace you, probably went to bat for you in the first place to get you a new role and a raise. So just don't say anything. Just ghost him.
Huh.
Yeah.
The new employer?
No. The old employer.
Oh.
Right. Just why say anything? What's it gonna?
Oh,
how is it gonna possibly help?
You mean I see what you're saying. You're doing them a favor in the sense that they don't have to deal with the separation.
Right. It's over. Just walk away. Just ghost. Just one day. You leave on Friday. Poof.
I mean, avoidance is a great way to deal with a lot of problems in life.
That's right. That is true.
Okay. Well, I think that Dave, since you seem to be the hot commodity lately, the best thing you can do is apply at more places and really find out what you're worth. You know, if your stock is up right now, time to sell to the highest bidder. You know, hurry out there and get more bidders. That's what I say. Something's going on because everybody wants you, Dave.
Yeah, that's an option.
Yeah, capitalize on this moment.
Do you have any other options?
Maybe.
I think you might.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I might. I think that, Dave, let's be real, you probably want to start by taking stock of what it is that you like about the offer from another company. What is it that you like about that? And is it higher pay? Is it a more prestigious title? Is it better benefits? Is it a chance to work with different people or more growth opportunities? To identify what it is that really is appealing about that. And once you have done that, then it's time to go to your manager and tell them that you've had another offer and you are considering it. Explain the reasons the other offer appeals to you. And ask it if it is possible to get something similar in this team lead role, provided you don't already know the specifics of that, which seems to be implied in the question. Remember that losing an employee costs the companies a ridiculous amount of money. That just swapping you out for somebody else is no small thing. Mm-hmm. That's huge. It is in their best interest to try and keep you instead of watching you leave and trying to replace you. That is painful for a business. So keep that in mind, that the switching cost is high for the employer. A little bit for you, not as much, but mostly for the company. And they are likely going to hear you out. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that would say a lot about your employer if you stick around with them. You know, if they're willing to accommodate your needs, whatever they may be,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're in a good place. Give them that chance. I think I would probably give them that chance.
Yeah. Yeah, my third option was pretty much right on track. You know, be an adult about it. Tell them as soon as possible. It's a fact of life. People come and go into business. It sucks on any capacity as an owner of a company. You know, when you it's never easy. It always puts. It's funny, you know. When I was an employee at big companies, I never gave it a second thought to them about how they felt it, saw it. I never did. I mean, it wasn't because I was young and never in that role. Like, oh, I have to, you know, it wasn't my problem. Now, as an owner, I see it. Now I feel a little bit more like, huh, yeah, okay. How would I approach this? I would approach it differently. I'd want to be a lot more respectful and tactful and professional because you never know, you know, you never know what's
going to happen. You change forever once you've sat in the employer seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the owner. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah. I think you're right. I mean, you just gotta go talk to them, talk to your, you know, your manager and say, this is where I'm at. And they might, you know, like you said, I mean, another friend of mine recently, Jamie, he just actually had somebody, who left and he offered him more money to stay. It didn't work, you know, whatever. So it's just unfortunate. So,
right.
But you're right. Yeah. There's a big cost.
It's hard. I'll grant that this is a little awkward and maybe uncomfortable, something that most employees don't look forward to doing, having these kinds of conversations. But to an extent, it's kind of part of your professional life.
Right.
It's a thing that most of us do have to go through. I don't really love giving the just like tough it up, deal with it kind of advice.
Right.
But I do want to remind people that these sort of situations, we agree, they're uncomfortable, they're not fun, but they're part of life. And I don't know, I believe that it probably won't be as painful as you think it will be.
Right.
If you haven't been through this before.
It's like coming clean with your parents about, you know, denting the car. It's not as bad as you think.
I'm never doing that.
No.
That's way worse. You don't have to be an expert negotiator, I don't think. Just tell them what you are hoping to get and ask if that's possible. And then say you'll think about it. This is another important thing. Don't make a decision on the spot. You know, this employer that you're working for might do their best to try and sell you on, you know, other benefits, other opportunities. I've been in situations before where employers dangled carrots in front of me and said, you know, this is a great growth opportunity for you. This is going to put you on track for to be such and such. You know, you keep doing this, one day you're going to be the blah, 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 regional director of this and that. And you're going to, we're going to fly you all over the place and you're going to be a big shot one day. And
that's what I was told when I took this job.
When I was young and naive, I bought that. And
yeah.
Got so excited about it and was willing to like work for peanuts because of this future that, well, anyway, that was painted for me. You're probably not in that situation, but also don't make a decision on the spot. Ask them to explain what they're willing to do. And after you explain what matters to you, and then think about it on your own time. Don't rush that decision.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Cool. All right. Question two sent in by Maureen. Maureen says, I just left a large company to go solo/freelance. Turns out there is a lot of busy work that I'm not a fan of. This is hilarious. This is funny and very, very on point. First and foremost, getting proposals and estimates to work to new clients. That said, are there some best practices in delivering proposals and estimates?
Whew. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah. There's best practices.
Yeah. I mean, delivering, I mean, I went with the whole delivering concept. So I'll also start with one. I'm all about the old school.
I know you are.
Deliver via fax machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just fax in your proposal.
that's how it works. I was picturing it like mailing fax machine with it.
No. Just use a fax machine as a delivery method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm also all about the new school.
Tell me more.
Via Instacart or Uber Eats. So maybe order some food for them and have your resume with it.
What about by drone?
I mean, not your resume, but your proposal.
Yeah, deliver it by drone.
Or drone. Yeah, that's even more so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be next level baller.
Yeah. What do you got? I have one more. I'll save it for the end. What else do you got? I love this question, by the way. This is one of my favorite questions in a long time.
It is super great. Yeah, totally. Clients and proposals and stuff.
It's like sliders for you.
Yeah. Woohoo. I think that I broke my advice down into a few different things.
Yeah.
Thought a few different tips and I broke it apart into good, better, and best.
Okay.
Because you said the question that says about best practices.
Yeah.
I said, here's good practice. send your proposals at 4:45 p.m. on a Friday with a deadline of close of business that day, so they don't have time to think about it. You don't want your clients to have that chance. Just make it so they have to sign it and return it as quick as possible or the deal's off the table.
Okay? I like it.
That's a good practice.
That's a good
practice. Before sending, take a shot of tequila, then raise the price by 50%.
Mm-hmm, I like it better.
I strongly recommend. Best practice. Don't do them. Clients suck. Proposals suck. Life's too short to deal with that crap.
Okay. So. I saw this coming. I saw you leaning this way eventually. Again, like your slider life. Yeah. I will mention that my last option here, my third option, is it's all about the process. I'm still in the spot. I still do this. I am not a huge fan of them either to some extent, Maureen. But have a process and use one. I mean, for a long time, I was using a service. I am not using a service right now because I was trying to save some money. And I didn't like the interface anymore, but find a service. There's plenty of them out there. Make it so it's easy to do. Because if it's hard to do, you'll wait and sit on it, which is a problem. Because a terrible practice, opposite of good is bad, is to wait too long. If you sit on something too long, like I'll get you a proposal, you know, this week or two business days, whatever it is, then do that. Have a set up a process. Have a timeline for yourself. And having a service, a SaaS, if you're one of those services, or even a Microsoft, a document that you can copy paste, but having it be replicatable, duplicatable, all that stuff is key. Get into somebody soon, because I've lost business. Back in the day, I lost tons of business because I just didn't want to do them. They're a pain, right? You know that.
That's right.
And then I finally got to them, like, oh, we didn't hear from you. We found somebody else. I'm like, oh, you know, it's that. So I now force myself to get on it. I say that I just delivered two yesterday. I sat on them for about 2 weeks because they're for friends through one of my men's groups. And the problem is whenever someone says to me, when you get to it, that's a terrible issue. Like, no rush. Get us something when you get to it. No, I say, I'll have you something by X date.
Right.
Because if they don't give you a timeline, you have to give yourself a timeline. Otherwise you won't do it. You know, we know this from experience, you know? Yeah. I mean, I say the option is, best practice, get a service, use a service, pay for it. If you're going to be doing this a lot, obviously, make it easy. Have templates ready to go, copy paste the pieces you need, just have that written out and send them out and do it sooner than later. Right.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Systematize it anywhere possible.
That's the key word. Systematize. Thank you. Big words. I was like all morning, all day. I'm like, what's that word? Systematize. That's awesome.
Yeah. I remember very well how vulnerable I was to the temptation to take shortcuts in the proposal process. And you were just hitting on that. Like, they're not fun. We don't like doing them. We wish we lived in a world where we could just like hit the client describes what they need and we're just like,
here, this is how much it costs.
$6,000.
And they say yes.
Like, yes. And then and they're like, oh, here's the check. You know, well, we wish we lived in that world, but we don't.
But it's ironic. So yesterday I was stressing about one of them because it's kind of a custom situation. A is a friend, you know, and a, you know, whatever, but it's not his company. One, it's his company. The other person is not his company, but same industry, both in the construction industry. Anyway, but it's ironic. I was talking to my PM about this, with Sally, and she's convincing me to charge accordingly for the one company in question, like the one where it's not his company. He just works there. So I did. And then I was so stressed. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Here's the value I bring to the table. I have to make money here. So I sent it off this morning. Thanks. Looks great so far. I'm going to talk to the owners. Looking forward to working with you. I'm like, I spent 90 minutes fretting because I was like, second guessing myself.
Oh boy.
It's because I know them. If it was some random person I didn't know, it'd be a no thought. But here you go.
Yeah.
It's when you have a personal relationship first, it changes that dynamic of giving somebody a proposal. That's also 100%. Something. Systemizing it, making it simple, you know, and also if you're really, really if you have what's the word? Help me with the word. When it's very productized services, it's easier.
Oh yeah.
Right. So once it's productized, deliverable, here you go. We do this, this, and this for this price. Right. Simple.
Highly repeatable. Right. Exactly. That's great.
It's that custom stuff that takes a little bit more finesse. So
true.
And then you also, I think a best practice is also make sure your proposals are at least 47 pages.
That's the sweet spot, you think?
I think so. Yeah. 47. Okay. 47 pages. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe just 4 to 7 pages. Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you remember what your proposal lengths were when you were back at the agency?
Yeah. There were, well, I know that they were always too short in the beginning,
okay,
and
yeah,
they got
yeah.
longer over time.
Exactly.
As I learned more.
Right.
And so this hits on one of the things that I was going to bring up that I do remember, that, you know, they say the devil is in the details, and the devil really is in the details. So spare none in your scope of work. Make sure you are crystal clear about what you are delivering before anything is signed. Mm-hmm. Wherever there is ambiguity in the proposal, the client will always assume you will take care of it. They will do nothing, and nothing will go wrong. That's their expectation. And that's not really the case, because there's so many ways projects can go wrong. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that can come up that require time and effort from the client. And there's so many things that you're not going to take care of that aren't included in the scope of work. So my proposals always got longer and longer. The longest that I remember any of them ever getting was probably, I don't know, more than 10, but less than 20 pages.
Yeah.
Sometimes if they were like pretty substantial projects, and sometimes that's not just like 20 pages of text.
You right.
know, sometimes there could be, you know, pictures of examples. Mm-hmm. There could be charts
right.
in there that take up a whole page.
Right.
Because we were pretty thorough with some of our, especially for our bigger clients, you know, where they're, you know, it's a corporation, and, you know, this is being reviewed by a CEO and being shown to the board and all these other executives. And we're trying to be extremely thorough and professional. And so sparing no details is something that's important, though it was a tremendous amount of work. And that's just to try and get the thought that you might put in all this work and then not get it in the end is just like crushing. It's crushing.
Yeah.
It's demotivating too. It's kind of, it's similar to like if you're job hunting and, mm-hmm. you know, if you put in more effort to get a certain job, you can increase your chances. But all of us have this feeling like, well, what if I put in that effort and I don't get the job? And it demotivates you.
Right.
And so many like job hunters do kind of the minimum amount of work. I know this is a fact.
Oh yeah, you do, because you're in that role now. Yeah.
And I review the applications. Everybody puts in the minimum work, and then they move on to the next open position and apply for that and put in the minimum there. Spray and pray.
Right.
Anyway, where were we? We're back on the proposals.
Pages, yeah. I mean, yesterday were both 8 pages. One of them actually had a chart and a sample dashboard, custom built dashboard. But yeah, for that reason, it made sense. Yeah. So that's 2 right there, you know, 2 pages. But and some of them have a site audit also embedded in there. So just some basic notes, cover page. But yeah, I mean 8 to 10. I think it's my current average with some legal legal ramifications as well. Like I call it the legal ease.
Sure, You're kind of pasting that in from
right.
Remember that it's a sales pitch. Mm-hmm. So you've got to sell the value. Don't just send over I'm speaking from experience on mistakes that I've made. Mm-hmm. Don't just send over a list of the to-dos or all the boxes you intend to check. Describe the problems that the client has, explain how you intend to solve those problems, emphasize how much of a difference your work will have on the business, and sell it.
Right.
You got to sell it.
Right. Yeah. Good advice. I mean, as much as you're happy, I know, I can see it on your face. You're like, you almost don't want to talk about it, but you have the knowledge, which is great. And this is why I'm living it. You've been there, done that, and I'm still in it. But I can tell you, you know, I also said to Sally yesterday when I sent one off, one of the proposals off, I'm like, you know what? If I get it, fine. If we don't get it, fine. I was okay with either way. That's how I am these days with work in general. It's like I don't
super zen.
Well, I don't know about. I would say maybe just zen. I don't know about super zen.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I also think making it look nice is smart. Presentation actually does matter, and you know, if you go out and get a template or hire a designer or use some proposal building SaaS or something like that, it's probably not a bad idea.
Right.
Just don't risk shaking their confidence in you by sending over something that looks amateur. Mm-hmm. The stakes are a little bit too high for this.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth it. It's worth investing in your proposals.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Good information. All right. Good questions. Thanks for those from both Dave and Maureen. Moving on to our segment this week, which is one of my favorite segments. Is that the bomb.com?
Yeah, that was a bomb.
Wow. Segment this week is bomb.com, if you didn't understand what Kyle just did there. Yeah. All right. Here's, we have, you want to explain what this is real quick?
This is a session where we, the experts, help you, the listener, come up with great ideas for your next venture.
Right.
You know, you're talking to like Adam Silver here, who's like the king of new ventures, the undisputed champion of new ventures. And so, and then there's also me, who's just like done a few random things, but maybe I have good ideas too. Right. We'll see. But we share with you the seed that could grow into your next big successful project by telling you an available .com domain, something that's good.
Right. You want to go first on this one? Okay, we're going to do three each, right?
Oh, I have five.
Okay, that's fine. You start. Yeah, you do one. You do one or two first. That's fine.
Okay, the first one. I'm mentioning this one selfishly because I want it to exist and I don't want to do the work of making it myself. WPGraveyard.com.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Somebody out there, spend a little bit of your free time and make a website where we could post, kind of like the Google Graveyard website that exists somewhere on the internet, a WordPress graveyard where we could look at all the past projects, like shows, themes and plugins, businesses, side projects, news sites, and everything from the history of the WordPress project, and just kind of reminisce about the things of the past.
You know what, I'll tell you what, I may buy it if somebody, I'll buy it, I'll pay for it if somebody wants to build it. And I think it could be just like based on a timeline, have it be a year, month, kind of just one of those timelines where just, you know, like offshoot, like almost like a, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like that design element where,
Totally. I will be a contributor to the site.
Yes, me too.
I'll fill several pages just of the projects that I started and that are now dead and rotting in their graves.
I mean, between you and I, we have a decade of stuff.
Yeah. You don't even need to make the content. We'll give you the content.
Right. Okay. I'll even host it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What's yours?
I have one. So the first two are both based around the concept of what's going on in the world. So one is called hereswhatyoumissed.com.
So hereswhatyoumissed.com. Hey, that's not bad. Thanks. Actually, that could be kind of
past events, things that
maybe
that you
there could be a podcast that goes with it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in a coma, you go.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, he's awake. We need you to go to this website.
Hereswhatyoumissed.com. So that's one of them. Okay, want me to share another? I'll share another one. Or do you want to do one more?
Okay, the next one that I've got is listen carefully. Squirt.com.
Squirt. How do you spell that?
SHQUART.com. Squirt.com.
And what would you use that for?
Think of all the potential. I think it's just like a really catchy brand name. Like whatever your next product is, and you're like, I've got this cool app or plugin or something, and a business or agency, and I haven't come up with a good name. Squirt. How about Squirt?
Squirt.com. Okay. I like it. It's catchy. It is. I think I like it. Yeah. Okay. So we had hereswhatyoumissed.com. The other one is for the future stuff, hopefully one day soon.com.
Oh, okay. That also, I could totally see that.
Right. So just future events.
It could have a podcast that goes with it.
I'd like it. Okay.
Right. Okay.
What do you got? Another one?
Let's see. This one, I think, could be a great business opportunity. I was shocked it was available. EpicStrollers.com.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Strong.
Right. I mean, have you ever seen a stroller and just thought, like, that is an epic stroller? Now, there could be a website, maybe an e-commerce website, maybe a content site where it's all just about those epic strollers.
Yeah. Cool. I like it. All right. Last one I have, very selfishly, very focused on a specific goal here. CanYouStartYesterday.com.
Oh my God, you did it.
I did. Boom. There it is.
You're so creative.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. All of your domains are sentences.
Yeah, that's true. That's awesome.
I like squirt.com. Yeah, I
know. I'm going to buy it and just put your face on it.
Okay. I have another couple. This one, actually, I used to own.
Huh?
It's available now because this is something that would go in the WP graveyard.
Okay.
So there used to be a site here with a story behind it. The site is mealsonmeals.com.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that you owned that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the thing. We had a website where anybody could be a contributor to it. And all you did was post your pictures of food stacked up on top of other food. And that was it. And it was great. It was a big hit. And then I don't know, I moved on in life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist anymore.
Clearly.
But it was a thing. I think it came from a WordPress meetup where we were talking and we found somehow that that string had a lot of searches, mm-hmm. organic searches. regularly people were searching for Meals on Meals.
Yeah.
And we were like, that would be a great website.
Yeah.
So we made one.
Yeah. Okay. And you have one more, you said?
The next one is 11feetapart.com.
Because 6 feet isn't quite enough.
And 7 feet apart was taken. And so is 8 feet apart. And so is 9. And so is 10.
That's but awesome.
11 feet apart is available.
Is it E-L-E-V-E-N or is it the number 11?
It's spelled out.
Spelled out. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a sentence.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
no. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's available and it has potential.
It does.
For you, listener. Right.
Okay.
You're welcome, everybody.
You are very welcome. I like it. I'm, yeah. So they're all available. And sadly, CoreyMowerLovesCats.com is still taken by our good friend,
John
Locke. It's awesome. Yeah. All right. On that note, we should get out of here. Thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have over at questions@getoptionspodcast.com. You can find us each online, Twitter primarily. I'm actually, it's @get_options. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. We're on SoundCloud. I think that's it. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.